Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. It's hard to believe it's already September 20th and September 21st, almost a year anniversary of the Affordable Care Act's public exchanges, and we're so glad as a company that we engaged the process and got on to healthcare.gov in New Hampshire and Maine, and we also joined the state-based exchange in Vermont because, as I mentioned in last week's show, we've had about 2,000 individuals in New Hampshire who have purchased our individual coverage on healthcare.gov, and this also stimulated our creation of DeltaDentalCoversMe.com, our so-called private exchange, and we have about 5,000 individuals who've purchased coverage through DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. This is relevant. My guest today is Dr. Shannon Mills, who is our Vice President of Professional Relations and Science, and welcome, Shannon, this weekend.
Thanks, Tom.
Once again, for joining me on a weekend. You don't get enough of me during the week, apparently.
No, can't get enough.
Oh, God. He knows his mid-year performance review is coming up. But in any event, well, Shannon would be the first to tell you that if you have dental insurance, you tend to go to the dentist a lot more than if you don't have dental coverage. And thus, our engaging of the Affordable Care Act and the public exchange and creating the private exchange is actually being a good thing for our oral health mission, because the vast majority of these 7,000 people, the 2,000 on healthcare.gov and the 5,000 or so on DeltaDentalCoversMe.com are people who didn't have dental coverage through their employer and found a cost-effective program to purchase a standalone dental plan, and thus they are in fact going to dentists. So, Shannon, would you agree that if you have dental coverage, whether you call it prepaid benefits or dental insurance, you tend to go to the dentist more frequently?
Well, that's what research has shown, and I, as you know, I always tend to support well-conducted research. And, you know, people become more motivated when they have, in this case, a little skin in the game, which is what I think gets them there.
That's good. And you've been on the show many, many times. Most recently, you were articulating a new program we have called Health Through Oral Wellness. And so let's give an update on, first of all, maybe describing what that program is, when we're going to be rolling it out, and to some extent we've really already rolled it out, and then how it relates to today's program.
Well, Health Through Oral Wellness is a wellness program for folks to help them take the best advantage of their dental benefits. And the way it works is folks who have higher level of risk for tooth decay or gum disease in particular, can get their dentist to complete a free oral health risk assessment that the dentists have available online. And if this test shows that they have higher likelihood of getting tooth decay or gum disease, they are eligible for additional benefits based on that need. And these include additional cleanings, fluoride treatments, sealants, oral health counseling, and so forth, that we think will really help people get themselves healthier.
Now, you stimulated a lot of calls into my office when you were here last. They were all good calls, though, but the theme was that people didn't realize that the two cleanings per year that most of us get, that really is not evidence-based dentistry. So can you give us the history again on how the two cleanings per year sort of became a proxy, and then how Health Through Oral Wellness, or how, takes it to the next level?
Well, it's kind of interesting. After we talked, Tom, I was actually writing a little short paper, and I went back to try to do a little more research on it. And depending on who you talk to, the origins of that recommendation either go back to the...
To Joan Rivers? Or?
Well, to Joan Rivers, perhaps, because it was the 1920s. But it's sad that we've lost her, back as early as the 1920s in toothpaste ads, possibly later on in, although the most likely thing is that ads that were put out by Crest toothpaste in the 1960s suggested people see their dentist twice a year. But again, that's the right answer for a whole lot of people. But for other people, seeing the dentist more often may be better. And some people might be able to actually skip an appointment now and then and not get in a whole lot of trouble. And I think if you think about it very hard, that should be pretty obvious.
So in short, the two cleanings per year, it's a good benchmark. And like anything else, you know, insurance plans traditionally have had to put a stake in the ground relative to what, you know, what should be
right.
covered. So two per year seemed to be an okay number, and it was supported by toothpaste companies.
Well, it's worked pretty well. I'm not going to fault it in that regard, but I think people need to realize that everybody's different. Everybody has different risk for oral diseases as they do for systemic diseases. And they need to be treated according to their real risk, not necessarily according to some mnemonic like see your dentist twice a year.
Plus, you get to say the word mnemonic.
I did.
Really good, hard to say. Now, since you mentioned we're all different as human beings, this is going to, of course, tee me up for the saliva study that people have been hearing us talk about for two or three years. Where is the saliva study? And give it, and for the listening audience, give us again the background in terms of what we were trying to accomplish there.
Well, we've been working with a group of researchers from the University of Southern California who are looking at some molecules that exist in saliva that seem to give some protection against tooth decay for some folks, but depending on the patterns can actually make it worse for others. And they've been trying to understand it, that if you could measure the amounts of these different kinds of, now I'm going to use a 75-cent word here, they're called oligosaccharides. Depending on what kind they are, if you can measure them, you might be able to estimate the risk that an individual has for tooth decay, especially a very young child, maybe before they even have it. If you could do that, you could make sure that they were getting looked at more often to make sure that problems didn't start.
Okay. So let's talk about gum disease and heart disease and the health and heart and mouth connection. And first of all, let's start with a basic question. Is there a link between oral health and heart disease?
Well, the evidence says that there's a link for sure, and that is that people who have gum disease seem, and the data supports this, seem to have a greater likelihood of having heart disease. And, of course, the reverse is also true.
Now, we've all heard of people who were supposed to have operations and then had them deferred until the oral care was improved. No, tell us why that would be the case.
Okay. Well, it's a little bit different reason than this, but the main reason for that is that your mouth bacteria, when you have the bacteria that are in the mouth are sometimes associated with heart infections. So people who are having significant heart surgery, like a valve replacement, you want to make sure that they don't have a lot of bacteria in their bloodstream that could contaminate the heart valves. So a person who has gum disease is likely to have more bacteria in their bloodstream. So managing that, making sure that that's under control before the surgery, is often considered to be a prudent choice.
Get it. That's a question that I've gotten offline, so I'm glad you've answered it. How prevalent is periodontal or gum disease for adults in America?
Well, the most recent nationwide study conducted by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, called the NHANES study, revealed that as many as half of all Americans over the age of 30 have some kind of gum disease. And that increases to folks over 65, it's probably around 70%. So that's a majority of Americans over 65 do have some kind of gum disease.
So the good news, unlike our grandparents who left this world and went to their reward with probably no teeth, more and more people are retaining their teeth. But, of course, they may start getting the gum disease, which can lead to tooth loss. So why is that? Why can you do a good job with your teeth but then have gum issues? And then why can gum issues then ultimately lead to tooth loss anyway?
Well, like most scientific questions, it doesn't have one simple answer. So it's a complicated process, but part of it's genetic. We don't want to attribute everything to genetics so people can just say, oh, well, it's not my fault. We've always known that...
Is that like I'm not good at math?
Therefore, right.
I'll let my children not get smart at math.
Exactly.
But go ahead.
But we know there's a strong genetic component. In fact, we've even identified some of the actual chromosome issues that are associated with it. It's the way the body manages inflammation in response to bacteria. And the actual destruction of the bone and tissue that supports teeth is really being done by your body, not by the bacteria themselves. But the way the body reacts to the presence of those bacteria can also end up with the destruction of the supporting structures of teeth. And again, part of that's determined genetically. But good home care, brushing, flossing, and so forth is really important too, because you just got to keep the amount of plaque, bacterial biofilm, or plaque present on teeth down to the lowest possible level. That's why brushing and flossing is helpful.
Seems like it always comes down to brush and floss in between your visit to the dentist. But no matter what topic we cover, and when I have other guests on, it still comes down to you can be the best dentist in the world, but if your patient isn't brushing and flossing in between visits, there's going to be an issue.
But it's interesting that just brushing and flossing alone or lack of it isn't going to cause the disease. You have to have certain types of bacteria, and your body has to react to those bacteria in a certain way for you to get the most destructive form of periodontal disease, which is creating what we call, it's creating a strong, high level of very aggressive inflammation. And that's a really important word as we go forward with the heart disease link. This inflammation, destructive inflammation, doesn't occur in everybody.
Okay, so you're going to give people a literary illusion lesson in terms of long in the tooth. I think it's connected to this topic, so tell us why.
Well, the old phrase long in the tooth simply meant as people got older, more and more of their teeth were showing, and that was because of the recession associated with gum disease over time, especially in the old days before modern dentistry and before modern oral hygiene practices. And, of course, that length of teeth often is also associated with loss of teeth.
There you go. So oral health does hold a clue to overall health. After commercial break, we'll talk more with Dr. Shannon Mills, the world-famous Vice President of Professional Relations and Science, right here in Northeast Delta Dental in Concord. We're blessed to have him. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And with me this weekend, September 20th and 21st, is Dr. Shannon Mills, who is the Vice President of Professional Relations and Science at Northeast Delta Dental, world traveler, world expert on many topics. And we'll get to Shannon in a moment. I just want to thank my running friends for the great turnout for the halfway to St. Patrick's Day race, which was on September 14th in Manchester. Great turnout. Northeast Delta Dental was a sponsor for that. And upcoming, we have the Manchester Half Marathon and a number of races in the fall. Great, actually the best time of year to run because you've tuned up really from the spring through the summer, and also the weather is obviously much more conducive to running because it's not too cold but not too hot. The Affordable Care Act, I mentioned before the break, we have about between the private and public exchange, about 7,000 individuals who have purchased through Delta Dental through a standalone dental program offered on either healthcare.gov or deltadentalcoveragememe.com. And if you want to know more about the strategy that we engage to, in effect, engage the Affordable Care Act, you can read about that. And There Are No Do-Overs, a book I co-authored with Dave Cowens, and you can purchase that at Gibson's right here in Concord or go on Amazon.com. So as mentioned, as with me this weekend is Dr. Shannon Mills, frequent guest. And if you think of it, we are an oral health coverage company, so we should have Dr. Mills on frequently. And it attracts always a lot of offline calls when I have him on. So let's start with risk factors and start with the obvious one, cigarette smoking. We'll go from there, Shannon.
Okay. Well, you know, we talked about the links, that there are links between gum disease and heart disease. And again, teasing out whether gum disease actually causes heart disease, which we don't know for sure, and is made complicated by the fact that there's a lot of shared risk factors between gum disease and heart disease. And I know you've heard me say this here before, but one of the most important things you can do, not only to have a long and healthy life, but to keep your teeth, is not to smoke. And one of the reasons is that smoking is really a very, very powerful contributor to gum disease. Again, people who have the risk factor that they were born with, if you throw smoking on top of it, it greatly increases the chance you're going to develop severe form of gum disease, the more severe type that results in tooth loss, and probably contributes, if the smoking wasn't enough, it also then makes it may make it worse by also contributing to worsening of the heart disease.
How does nutrition play into this?
Well, with gum disease, it's a little different than tooth decay. In tooth decay, the foods you eat directly attack the tooth structure because the bacteria break them down and make acid. This doesn't really have anything to do with that. Again, it's the way the body reacts to the presence of these specific types of bacteria. So the most important aspect of nutrition is just to eat a good, healthy diet that helps keep your immune system strong by you being well nourished, getting the right vitamins and minerals and so forth. So just eating a good, healthy diet probably is the best defense from the gum disease standpoint. Whereas tooth decay, again, it's the sugars that directly attack the teeth. So it's a different nutritional approach.
If you're diabetic, how does this all play into frequency of going to the dentist and gum disease and so forth?
Well, that's another player. Again, it just shows the complicated nature of this. Diabetes is a risk factor for heart disease. And we know that folks who have periodontal disease have more difficulty in managing their diabetes. And so because of that, that's another way that gum disease is an indirect contributor to worsening the risk of heart disease. So there's where diet does play a role, because if you are diabetic, again, eating a good, healthy diet, but if you're diabetic, avoiding excess sugar and doing all the things you have to do nutritionally to manage diabetes will also contribute to better gum health and, through more than one way, perhaps also contribute to better heart health.
Now, maybe surprisingly for the listening audience, but gum disease affects about 80% of American adults. So what would be some of the warning signs that you might potentially have gum disease?
Well, there's several different things you can notice. One of the course is the ones that's pretty obvious is bleeding gums. If you always have red in the sink after you brush your teeth, that's something you should be concerned about. You know, having it once in a while, one or two little places, not so much. But that's one. If your teeth are loose, simply having teeth that are mobile or loose or don't feel stable, that's probably also a sign. Some people who have gum disease may also have chronic bad breath, and that's because of the bacteria that are present in the areas where the bone has been lost. You have pockets. You've often maybe heard somebody say, well, the doctor said I have pockets. That's an area where the bone is lost and the supporting structures are lost, and it's just a pocket between the teeth and gums. The bacteria that live in there, some of them can produce odors that contribute to bad breath.
And you may recall that a colleague of yours who works with us at Northeast Delta Dental, Dr. Randy Tillman, she explained that in an earlier show. So thank you for allowing me to have Randy on the show. So probably like a lot of things, prevention is probably the best medicine. So besides brushing and flossing, what else can I do?
Well, the most important thing is to know that you have gum disease, because it's a disease that can really sneak up on people, because in its earliest stages, it's not painful. You may not even have a great deal of bleeding in the initial parts of the disease. And by the way, just another, I'm going to try to nail every nail I can under the coffin of smoking. Smoking actually means that you won't get as much bleeding, so sometimes the disease can even be more advanced before it's detected. But again, going to the dentist, having a periodontal evaluation done by your dentist, preferably every year at least once, is really, really important. And to make sure that you aren't developing the disease, because the earlier it's found, the more likely it is that we can start to manage it and keep it from getting worse. Because once the bone's gone, once the connective tissue and other supporting structures of the teeth are damaged or are absent, we really aren't able to get them to really grow back reliably.
Now, Shannon, to understand maybe a little bit more comprehensively about your risk for gum disease, We have a website, healththroughoralwellness.com, and that personal risk assessment call mydentalscore.com. So tell us a little bit about those two websites.
Okay, well, we've just recently put up our wellness website called healththroughoralwellness.com. And on there, our subscribers and anyone actually who wants to go there can take advantage of the self-assessment that we put there called My Dental Score. And the My Dental Score will give you you enter your information, and it'll give you an estimate of your risk for tooth decay, for gum disease, and also for oral cancer, which is a very important condition as well. And using that, what we encourage you to do is take advantage of links to information about those conditions that you can go directly to, but also to take a copy of that report, which you can print out, and take it to your dentist when you're having your next dental exam and discuss the findings. Now, the self-assessment is not as reliable as the diagnosis and assessment that your doctor can do. So you need to go and make sure that they take a look and check your gums for pockets, one of the things we talked about, and bleeding, and look for early signs of gum disease. But it's really, really important to have that conversation and to have it explicitly so that you really do understand what your risk is. Because the earlier treatment gets started, the less likely you are to need the more complicated types of procedures, periodontal surgery, bridges, implants, and so forth. And we want people to be able to try to keep their own teeth as long as they possibly can.
Now, I know we've been promoting all season, the recently completed Fisher Cats season at Northeast El Dental Stadium. We promote mydentalscore.com. So how long, whether I use the one through healthworldwellness.com or go to the generic one, mydentalscore.com, how long would it take for me to complete that?
It takes just a few minutes, about 1 minute for each section. There's the three sections at the most. So it's 3 to 5 minutes at the absolute most. By the way, while you're on the site, if you've got kids, especially younger kids, you can do their assessment too. There won't be the gum disease part, but it'll just take care of their tooth decay risk. And as a parent, you certainly want to have an idea what a child's estimated risk for tooth decay is. And again, another conversation that's super important to have with your dentist and the dental team.
So I would complete the survey, print it out. Next time I'm going in for a regularly scheduled visit, just bring it to my hygienist then?
Right. The hygienist and the dentist can take a look at that. The dentist, by the way, will also be able to do a clinical version of it called the Oral Health Information Suite, which they'll take their clinical information, which is above and beyond what you're able to enter, self-reported, and they can do a clinical risk assessment as well. Beginning in January, that clinical risk assessment may provide you with additional benefits, as we talked about earlier, if you need them to keep you healthy, to keep you from worsening or having tooth decay or gum disease.
Okay, let's do our usual lightning round with about 90 seconds. Okay, University of New England, year two. How are the students doing?
Well, we've heard nothing but positive news, so we're really looking forward to seeing, we're a few years away from graduating, but see them move on to their clinical years. And then we expect to see within the next few years them, being on external rotations in dental clinics here in New Hampshire.
Great. Next thing, we've already talked about saliva, but I want you to talk a little bit more about how ultimately the saliva study could be used in the Health World Wellness Program down the road.
Well, what the most obvious choice is tooth decay develops pretty quickly in kids, but sometimes it's pretty advanced. In the worst kids at worst risk, the decay develops so quickly it happens right before the parents even really know what's going on. If you could take a saliva sample as part of the first well baby visit or even out of a newborn and you could run that test and identify kids at higher risk, you could start watching those kids, having them come back for earlier recalls, and you could give the parents extremely important information that would help them, if they see problems developing, be able to take the child in and have them looked at, and also about things they can do to help prevent it, mainly about diet, but to try to prevent that from happening.
Okay, I'm going to close with some website information, mydentalscore.com for your risk assessment, or you can go on healththroughoralwellness.com. If you want to purchase individual dental coverage, you can go on our private exchange, deltadentalcoversme.com, or the public exchange right here in New Hampshire, healthcare.gov. Dr. Shannon Mills, as always, we run out of the time, which is a good thing because then I don't have to ask you about cosmetic dentistry, and we're lucky to have you in the great state of New Hampshire. Dr. Shannon Mills and Tom Raffio will return with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio next weekend.